Better take a deep breath. Some really unbelievable things happened today in Neyland Stadium. And for one thing, I want to give my film study crew a tip of the cap. Florida really is bad. We didn't take advantage of it. But show enough, they bad. Show enough, they bad. Tennessee just happens to be worse. Tennessee just happens to be worse. Let's get this thing started, should we?
Congratulations. You're a part of the revolution.
It's the Smart Way Dalton Behring Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction.
The place where we want to hear from Big Orange Country about today's game. To get online now,
865-200-5402.
865-200-5402.
And now, let's get to your host, Tony Basilio.
I'm literally going to be sick. For those of you calling in, my screener has left the building. So when you click and it clicks on and you can hear my voice, that means you're on hold and I'll be coming to you. Okay? And I'll come to you in the order that you've called. So we have a couple folks clicked in right now. If you want to get in with us and you hear me and you're listening to me on hold, you're clicked in. Here's what happened. Matt, who usually helps me answer phones, slammed down his chart that he generally uses to tell me who's on hold and just left. He said, I'm not doing this today. And I said, okay, I understand that. So if you want to get in, 865-200-5402. That was a sickening finish on a day where the Tennessee defense and the Tennessee fan base brought the noise today. The Tennessee defense and the Tennessee fan base did an excellent job today. The offensive part of our game management was not there. With a 9-0 lead, Tennessee is firmly in control. Firmly in control. Why are you throwing the ball deep with long developing patterns with Justin Worley? What are you doing? Run the damn ball. Win the damn game. It's not that difficult. Give the ball to one and win the game. Throw some quick stuff out in the flat like he did in the first quarter. Again, we go away from that. Throw that quick stuff, that quick inside stuff. Why did they do that? And you know what that was today? And I'm gonna back up here. This is just me now, as I welcome you to the Smart Way Dalton Behring Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. We're commercial break free today, and we're gonna be with you until we're all sick of talking about it. And boy, there's a lot to dissect from this game. And we'll have tons of guests on, as we always do. Wins and losses come in all shapes and sizes, don't they? You have lucky wins. You have bad beats where you deserve to win and you lose. Tennessee today, their defensive team walks off that field. And when you look at the numbers, this will make you want to throw up. Florida had 76 yards passing and 3 interceptions, and they win the game. With Neon Treon. It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable how offensive it is. And disgusting. And hard to deal with as the Vols fall to 2-3 on the year. 0-2 now in the Southeastern Conference. And both those games are equally painful. No. Today's game was like somebody laying you on the ground and kicking you right in the abdomen about 9 times till they drew blood. This Treon Harris comes into the game and totally changes the game. How many times have we seen the script with backup quarterbacks here through the years? We have a 9-0 lead. And Worley is just ball holding because we're running some long developing nonsense. Get the ball out of his hands. And we did so many nice things in the game. But every time we got the ball deep into their territory, it was like there was just no feel there from our coordinator, from our game plan. And I know our offensive line isn't very good, and it's not. We all know that. And here's where I'm at. Look, some people are going to draw rash judgments here. This is a team that has what they have on offense, which is a hodgepodge, which is to say, really, at the end of the day, some nice wide receivers and a nice running back and an offensive line that cannot keep our quarterback clean. I got to go to the phones because I need some help processing what I just saw. So we're going to get through this together today. As Tennessee loses 10-9, this is easily, in my mind, as painful a result as the 1990 Alabama game. Now, granted, Tennessee had a really, really talented team that year, but this game was equally as weird. It was as weird feeling. I mean, Tennessee today does a lot of things that you could do to win a football game, but the thing they did not do in this game was run the ball effectively. They ran 29 times for 28 yards, good for 1 yard per carry. And the other thing Tennessee did today that they really haven't done in the Butch Jones era is they really hurt themselves with some silly penalties that took out some early drives early in the game. Oh, man, and I let myself get sucked in. It is so painful. It is so painful. 76 yards and 3 interceptions, and you lose the game. And I don't know any other way to say this, but Butch Jones and that staff, you can't lose a 9-0 lead to that Florida team. They're terrible. And I have no expectations, okay? Butch Jones looked like he ate some foul turkey walking off that field. He looked like he was getting ready to throw up. I mean, physically ill. It would not surprise me if I talk to a support staff member and they tell me that he got physically ill after that game. Because that game deserves physical illness from anybody involved with Tennessee's offense. Especially from a coaching standpoint. Like I said, your line is what your line is, and you built a 9-0 lead. In a game where 9-0 feels like it's 35-0, and granted, it should have been 28-0. Florida is terrible. They're terrible. That is a pedestrian. That's the same Florida team that was 4-8 last year, and Brett Musburger can try and convince himself that they're back, and Jesse Palmer can try and convince himself that team's not back. They suck. That team's terrible. But Tennessee's young, which they are. And Justin Worley did not manage that well today. And that's too bad. Because the streak is now 10. And when it ends, well, Trayon Harris will be a sophomore down there next year running around. And historically, we don't do well with quarterbacks like that. But one of these days, keep recruiting, we'll get through. You'll see the type of turnaround Mississippi State's had. And that's my message today. My message is, let's keep this in perspective. We're going to wallow in the pain today a little bit. It's a public service. But we're going to get past this, and we're not going to draw rash judgments about our coaching staff. It's too early. There's not enough there yet. And I'm glad Mississippi State blew Texas A&M out today, because Texas A&M's helmets, why don't we whore out to the shoe companies? Those things were embarrassing looking today as we go to the phones. 865-200-5402. All lines currently jammed. Speaking of the phones, Living Vol fan, I tip my cap to you today. Incredible crowd in Neyland Stadium. Incredible atmosphere in Neyland Stadium. The checkerboard, checker Neyland, very, very well done. We deserve better. We deserve better. Back to the phones I go. 865-200-5402. And our next caller will be our first caller. Hello and welcome. You're on the Smartway, Dalton Behring, fifth quarter fan reaction.
Hey, Tony, how's it going?
Hey, who's this?
This is Rooster.
Hey, man.
Man, I've got a lot of internal strife going on right now. I'm suffering like the rest of the fan base. That very disappointing. Very disappointing. But I think we'll try to make it through it. But just a few observations. First one is the first quarter. We had it third and less than a yard twice, and they tried this gimmick crap where they put Hurd back there. I just don't understand why we're trying to pull that out of the bag of tricks. I mean, I know sometimes that works, but I mean, it's less than a yard. I mean, are you kidding me? What do you think?
Well, if you watch the game today, we don't believe in the running game, and we're not going to use a fullback. We're just not going to institute that and help our running back. So until we can get backs that are adapted to zone blocking or adept at zone blocking, this is going to be what we're going to be looking at here in Rocky Top under Butch Jones, unfortunately, on offense. I don't understand why you can't do a little bit of both, but apparently – you can't do a little bit of both.
Second thing is what you kind of hit on there with your comments is we're just so predictable with our running game. I mean, this is not even a zone read because we know he's not going to pull it out. I mean,
right.
It's just this little handoff, and they know that's what's coming. That's the only running play we have. I mean, I thought last week against Georgia we had some decent misdirection stuff. I don't know why we abandoned that from the playbook. I just didn't see any creativity there.
We run a zone read with a guy that has the speed of me. You know? It's sad. It's sad.
It is, no doubt about it. And just finally, I don't know why we don't send some – like you were hitting on it. These long developing plays, I was like, why don't we send a guy right out in the flat? Do we not have a guy we can just – check down to if you're feeling pressure and you just kind of toss it out to him and let him run? I'm just not getting it. I mean, it seemed fairly obvious. The announcers kept talking about it. You know, our right tackle just couldn't handle the pressure, and we didn't throw any screens or anything. I just didn't understand. Didn't understand. I know I'm hammering Bajakian, and I'm
he
I don't want to get
it.
Too down on him, but
no. He deserves it. You're up 9-0. The only way you don't win that game is offensive coaching malpractice. And again, I have zero expectations for the season, win-loss-wise. I said I want to see Tennessee play purposeful, clean, smart football, and they were purposeful today. They were not clean, and that was not smart with a 9-0 lead. And I will not apologize for that, and neither should you.
Yeah.
But JK makes a lot of money. That was bad today. That was bad.
That was, and that was square on their shoulders. And I'm concerned. I hope this doesn't interfere with our recruiting momentum. You know, we got to win a game, I think, personally, to keep this momentum going. I mean, people got to see that, yeah, Tennessee's improving. This close and moral victory stuff can only go so far.
It's recruiting is going to be what's going to push these guys over the top. You just got to have more players. But today's a game they should have won because I think overall they have a better football team and a team that was, I mean, if you watch Florida in the first half, Florida's out there just, you know, they're just out there running around. They know they're getting beat today. Their fans stayed home. I mean, I was over there today, and I'm going to tell you something. There wasn't a Florida fan to be had. I don't know how many people they brought, but it had to be an all-time low crowd for them.
Yeah. My sense is, with the Florida fan base, Tony, is that I think some of their fan base is probably disappointed they won this game because they don't think Muschamp's the guy.
No question.
They don't think Muschamp's the guy. They want him out of there. They want to send him packing.
Absolutely great phone call by you. Thank you, my friend. Great talking to you. And here's the deal today. If you call the program and you get locked in and you hear yourself, you hear me in your ear, if you get a busy signal, you haven't gotten through. If you get me in your ear, you have, and you've found the program. My call screener today, Matt, slammed the clipboard down. It broke into like three pieces and said, I'm not doing this today. So more power to you. He said, I can't take this. We watched the last part of the game together, and he said, I absolutely refuse to do this. So if you want to get in with us today, 865-200-5402 is our number, 865-200-5402. Russell Smith, I've been around here 20 years, and on one hand, this is one of the most painful days I can remember for Tennessee football.
Just a complete choke job.
That choke's a good word.
Florida owns Tennessee. I mean, it's time to face the facts. Tennessee takes what Florida gives, and they own Tennessee. Coaches can change, but it's the same thing, just a total choke job. Butch Jones and his staff should return their paychecks this week because that was pathetic.
Now, come on, Dubs. You can't talk like that.
They should. And Mike, I'm not going to say, you know, they don't need to fire Bajakian or anything like that, but Butch Jones does need to sit him down and say, look, I'm glad you're my buddy. I'm glad I got to bring you with me and we're at the big time now, but you're not earning your keep. And if you want to stay here, you need to step up because you're not getting the job done right now.
But Dubs,
if you don't step up, I'm going to find somebody who will.
But Russell, I
know they've got a
they got no offensive line.
Okay.
No, not only they have young offensive line, they have no offensive line.
It's not about.
But it was a 9-0 lead. It was coaching malpractice. It was bad.
It's not about Tennessee's offensive line. It's not about the fact that Jeff Driscoll's awful and the Florida sucks. It's about the fact that Florida owns Tennessee.
Yeah.
Put Belichick and Urban Meyer together and Saban on the sideline. If they're wearing orange, Florida's winning. Doesn't matter. They own Tennessee.
Unbelievable.
Pay rent.
Unbelievable. What I don't like is, for the third straight week, our kids played well enough to deserve a better result. For the third straight. The Oklahoma game, they deserved to be in the game late. The Georgia game was winnable if it's handled a little better. In today's game, you're up 9-0 late in the third against that team in a game where Worley is playing well, you're in control, even though you're not running the ball, and you weren't able to execute in the red zone, and you come out of there with a 10-9 loss, with a freshman quarterback who had two passing attempts before today. I mean, that's a damn embarrassment. I don't care if you're in a rebuilding mode or not. And again, I have no numerical expectations on the season, but I would like to look like it's intelligent and well-coached, and today it didn't.
I mean, how predictable is it, too? As soon as you saw Treon Harris
running
up on the sideline,
you
knew what was about to happen.
Yep.
As soon as you saw that guy coming free on Worley and you realized that he didn't see him, it was like, here it comes. I mean, have you ever been in a game where your team is up 9-0 and yet you feel like you're down 14-7? That's what the whole game felt like.
No. No, this is beyond comprehension. Back to the phones we go. Hello and welcome. You're on the Smartway Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Dalton.
Hey.
Mariano.
Hey, buddy. Talk to me.
Well, let me get all this in order the way I want to say it. But Tony, I went to my first Tennessee football game in 1967. And, you know, I don't remember a whole lot about it. Just a small kid and everything and growing up, but in my memory, and I'm talking about even in the last couple of years of the battle situation, first years of the major situation, when we had a hodgepodge up front, this is the worst offensive line that we've ever put on the field, by far. I mean, Florida was getting pressure with three men at the end there, and we've got, you know, five guys on, and they can't, you know, and he's running for his life. I mean, that is just, I mean, and you know, if you're an offensive lineman or you're a junior college kid or and you don't see that, hey, if you want to play day one, come over here because this, it, you know, they need help. And I mean, it's been that way the entire season. You could see it, you know, from the first game on that they really had some problems up there. So, golly, you know, it's a line of scrimmage game, and the old saying goes, but, you know, when it's 9-0, and I'm thinking the only way we can lose this game is if we turn the ball over down close. And for, you know, Coach Fulmer, you know, looking back in history, lost his job because he would just stay with his buddies and not make changes to his staff. And it eventually cost him his job, I think. That's just my opinion. Now, I think a lot of things added to that, but I think that's probably the number one reason why Coach Fulmer went out the way that he did. And I don't know if, you know, and Butch can tell us all, well, this is the best coaching staff in the country and all that. You know, and I'm tickled to death with what they're doing on the recruiting trail. And I like his discipline. He's a hardworking guy. There's no doubt about it. I mean, we all love that. I mean, Tennessee people appreciate that. They want to pull for the underdog, you know, but when you're so woefully outmanned and as we are this year, you just need every coaching decision that's sound made. And when you go with a lot, just, I mean, you could see that you cannot hold the ball back there 15 seconds. You just can't do it. And, you know, let them back in the game. And like you said, when it was 9-0, you know, when I felt like it's 2 scores, you know, just take care of the football. Hey, run the thing 3 times and punt it back to them. And the call that really, the play that really got me, after Florida scored and made it 9-7, Hurd comes in and runs a sweep around the left side. It's up to midfield. It's 2nd and 3. Now, what do? Go back to pass and get sacked again. And I mean, can you not use a little bit of common sense? You know, 2nd and 3, let's just move the chains, keep it rolling, you know, and get down there and maybe, you know, put a little more distance between yourself and them. But I have not seen anything out of Bajakian that makes me think that he's capable of playing big-time SEC football. Now, you might be able to do it up in the Big East or with Cincinnati or wherever. But you get against these defenses, you've got to, particularly as with the shortcomings that we got on the offensive front, you have to play smart. And, you know, the Harris kid, they set him up perfect. I mean, you know, when you're on Tennessee's 35-yard line, that's a pretty good place to start. But let's say that Tennessee holds there or that, you know, that Worley doesn't get hit and we punt it back to him and he's back at the 20. It's a whole different game. That was a field position game. And we started out with the block in the back and the opening kickoff. We had none the first half, basically. I mean, we were in the whole first quarter and most of the second quarter, but it was a field position game, and all you have to do is punt it back to them and give it to them on the 20. And I just think that, you know, it's a sickening game. You could see it coming from a mile away after the fumble and and their touchdown. And you just gave them life, you know, and they just basically, I don't know how else to say it, just like Russell said, you know, they own us, and they just stole one.
That's a choke.
It was.
You know, and I hate to use that word. I feel so sorry for our defensive kids,
special
teams.
Better.
Oh, come on, man. They forced Florida to turn the ball over 3 times.
Sure did.
Florida possessed the ball. Florida had 230 total yards. They had 154 yards rushing, of which a lot of those yards came late in the football game after Tennessee had mismanaged the football game.
Exactly.
76 yards passing, Mariano. You can't win that game in your building. I don't care how bad you are. And here's my thing. I'm not going to sit here and make any generalizations like some people are. And everybody's emotional right now on Butch Jones and the future. The future is very bright. Today, however, the guy's making $3 million. And today's game was silly. That's all. It was silly.
We probably lost to the worst Florida team, Tony.
You'll
and
ever say.
Butch lost last year to Muschamp, and he lost to him this year.
Yep.
And he's probably not going to be there next year for
no.
him to lose to.
He's not making it. Because the caller that came before you who said this is exactly right. Their fan base was cheering for Tennessee to knock them out today. I guarantee you there are people today in Gainesville. I bet you half of them. Because
yeah.
we've been there.
Yeah.
Who are a little ill today that they won the game. Now, they think it's funny that they've beaten Tennessee 10 in a row, and I don't blame them because they've inflicted a lot of punishment and pain on us through the years.
Yeah.
But that's a bad loss by us, man.
It is.
A bad
loss. And I think it just put, you know, I mean, it was all set up. You had, I mean, the tightest ticket probably in, what, 10 years?
No question.
And, you know, and everybody was there, perfect weather, you know. Orange and white checkerboards in the stands looked awesome. I mean, I've never seen anybody do anything that extravagant in the stands. But I just thought that, you know, they deserve better. But what that game gets you is it just lengthens the process of where he wants to go. You know, if you win that game, you get yourself into it's a little bit easier. You might get a little bit better bowl, you know, or, you know, it may knock you out of even getting another bowl. Who knows? I mean, at this point, because with that offensive line, Tony, I just don't know that Worley can make it the entire season. I mean, he's getting hit every play. And, you know, like I said, talked to you earlier about it, you know, we're just basically running, it's not a zone read, it's just a zone dive play. You know, he's just handing it off and staying in motion. And, you know, he's getting hit anyway. And just like I said talked to you earlier last week or the week before, when they were playing Oklahoma, I said, hey, he's getting hit every play. Let him keep it. At least he'll be a moving target. You know, I mean, he's not going to get hit any less. That's for sure. So,
what's going to be really interesting is, will we modify what they're trying to do offensively going forward as the talent improves? If they don't have a great athlete back there, quarterback, and that's going to be really, really interesting. And then the other thing is, as you said, is he going to look at this coordinator? And is he going to say, boy, he failed me today? Or is he going to say, man, my offensive line, that's the bottom line. They're just too young, and we weren't going to win that game anyway. Which I don't know how you would draw that conclusion, because when we looked at Florida on film, Mariano Wednesday, we could not believe what we were seeing. And Florida came in today and wanted us to knock them out. In the middle of the third quarter, that game should have been 24-0.
Yep. Yeah. And all the passes that we threw, I mean, you know, they're so long developing, and Worley is a great, you know, he's very good at doing what he does, you know, and he's maximized what he's got. But I think the thing that bothers me the most is they run such long developing pass plays, other than those little dinks that they ran at the start of the third quarter. And it takes him a while, Tony. He has to wind his motion. He's not a quick release guy. If you watch him. So, I mean, you've got to help your quarterback out. If you're a coach, you got to help your lineman out. But when it's second and three on the 50, and you go back and he gets sacked, and then it's third and nine or third and eight, you know, that play right there, that's just poor coaching. You need to hold on to the football. And, you know, if nothing else, you know, get down there and get you a field goal or something. But you just dig yourself a hole, and you just couldn't dig out of it. You know, by doing that, by not playing smart. And, you know, hey, there's nothing wrong with three runs. Today, Tony, three runs and a punt was a great play. Would be a great series when you're up 9-0 in this game.
No question.
Three runs and a punt.
What was the rush? Where was the game going? You brought Phil LaFleur up before. Phil LaFleur was really good at winning games like this.
Yeah.
Because he just let the game come to him.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, in the talent level that he had to deal with. But, you know, eventually it caught up with him. And, you know, all good coaches, Tony,
sure.
We talked about this 100 times. All good coaches can modify. They'll modify. Look at Bear Bryant. I mean, if he don't go to the wishbone, Bear Bryant's probably going to get fired.
That's what's going to be interesting to see if this guy changes what he does.
It is.
Here.
It, yeah. It really is.
Thank you, my friend.
See you, buddy.
Because he's recruiting like a madman. And the future's really bright with the recruiting, but if he's going to be hard-headed, it's going to get really interesting here quickly, because there's going to be a lot of great players, and you're going to look at it. Jalen Hurd had an injured shoulder, which limited his second-half snaps for UT. Some other things that we're learning today. Butch Jones thanked the Tennessee fans, also said, we're in this together. I know it hurts. keep the patience. I'm angered. I am upset. I'm upset. And I promise you, Butch Jones says, we're going to get it right. We're going to get it right. I promise you. He said, we're in it together. There are days like this. We are going to have great days here. We're going to get it right. I promise you.
Is this the official end of the honeymoon period for Butch Jones? Is he just another? Is he just a guy now coaching his team?
No, come on, man. He's recruiting so well, man. Come on.
Not calling for his head or anything, but is he just? I mean,
how could he possibly be just another? They're killing it on the recruiting trail.
Okay, I was just asking a question. I mean, I think every coach gets that year or two long. It's usually 1 to 2 years.
Yeah,
where. You forgive them any loss.
Yeah.
Even a bad loss. You know, yeah. you lose to Vanderbilt on your home field last year. Oh, well, it's your first year. I think people are going to take this one pretty hard.
This is lingering. This is a lingering. This is
You mentioned Alabama in 1990. This is one 20 years from now. We'll talk. I remember Florida in 2014.
Well, of course. Well, here's the thing about today's game. And there's just no way to polish this up. You've got a 9-0 lead to a really, really bad team. A team that Kentucky needed. I mean, Kentucky came closer to beating
them
than we did.
Kentucky scored 20 points in regulation against those guys in Gainesville.
Our offensive line's not good. We know that. But you got to have a smart game plan. Back to the phones we go. And today's game just wasn't smart. I mean, I've got no expectations win-loss-wise.
Moronic. Horrible plan.
But it was moronic in the second half. There's just no doubt about that. Back to the phones we go. Hello.
The whole game, the first half wasn't much better.
Smartway Dalton Behring, fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello. Hello, who's this?
This is Don.
Hey, Don, welcome.
Yeah, guys, I tell you, I knew as soon as they scored that touchdown. Oh, God. Then their backup kicker, of course, hits that 49-yarder, even though time had expired. But you realize Florida's got 2 wins in the SEC. Both of them come as a result of plays after the clock run out. Got to be charmed. This is all on the coaches. Offensive coaches, not the defensive coaches. Offensive coaches. Like you were saying last week and how much we deserve to win that game, our defense really deserved to win that game. A handful of plays, you know, like it always is. That first interception after we got an interception, they Worley threw down the north in the end zone. I guess you guys watched the replay. Of course, part of it was because we weren't protecting him. He threw that ball off his back foot, threw it short, and that's why number 8 wasn't so much slipping as he was trying to dive. The biggie to me, too, was after all that we went through, lost the lead, had to punt it back to them, held them, got the ball back, converted 2 fourth downs. We got 2 minutes and 2 timeouts. You can't throw that ball and let pigs wide open.
No, that's exactly right. What are you doing there? Drive the football. You got it to the 47-yard line. You've converted on 4th down.
I mean, 2 first downs.
You can't do that.
Medley back out. And
you can't do that.
By the way, I want to give props to Medley today. I mean, he was there.
Yeah, oh, yeah, no question. He did a nice job today.
You know, guys, it's just, I hate to be that way, but it's just some, I know we don't have an offensive line, which is why you don't, as you guys have been saying, which is why you don't do the long developing plays. We didn't have to. Wolf caught 1 pass today, guys. 1 pass. And it wasn't enough to get a 1st down. I don't, you know, I can't see the whole field, but you can't tell me that you couldn't have thrown the Wolf more than 1 time today. And as your last caller talked, you got 2nd and 3 out there at midfield. Just picked up 7 yards on 1st down. You're wearing them down. And you drop back, get sacked, turn the ball over. And you knew that backup kicker wasn't going to miss a field goal. He may not kick another field goal.
Nah, that's exactly right.
But you knew it was going through.
Don, that Florida team will go 6-6 this year. Watch
at
it.
At best.
Watch it. Watch and see.
The next three. I don't have any doubt. They're
unbelievable. They beat us. It's
sickening. It'll be just like last year after they lost to Georgia Southern. You're going, how'd that happen? Same thing this year. I don't think that little quarterback will be as big an answer as people think. I mean, pretty good when you're starting at the 35-yard line.
I tell you what, Don, I'd take him.
Oh, yeah.
For what we do, I'd take him. I trade quarterbacks.
You'll see him next year. His name's Juwan Jennings, only he's bigger. We either got to change our offense or we got to change quarterbacks or something. And I love Justin. You know it. I've bragged on him
whole
year. But his way of playing ain't going to work. I mean, why are we slowing? The reason our running backs aren't getting any yards is by the time Justin hands it to them, there's four defensive linemen there. Every yard we gained except for that one nice run that Justin made before the hole opened up, every yard we gained, him and Lane had to hit our line and push them forward. You go back and watch. Early in the game, there was one Jalen got about 7-8 yards. All him. You go back, he rode that offensive lineman right into the pit of their defense and pushed them all forward for 7 or 8 yards. It just, I don't know. I don't know where the pass across the middle of the wolf was. I don't know why we weren't throwing more slants that were working. But you know one play I'll go back to. Early in the game when we got our first field goal. Third down, and I know he's a freshman. Malone drops that pass. He probably scores.
No question. No question. That's a four-point swing.
Malone overran
game.
Malone had a rough game. He had a couple drops. But, Don, here's another point that you brought up earlier. Coming off the turnover on the first play of the first series of the third quarter, as a coordinator there, you're thinking, at this spot in this game, with the type of game this thing is turning out to be, at the very least, we're walking out of here with 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
At the very least. The last thing I want to do is expose myself in light of the way the first half unfolded. The last thing I want to do is walk out of here with no points, which is exactly what happened.
Yeah, and I kept telling my wife, I said, if we score one touchdown, this game's over. They would quit. They were ready to lay down like dogs at 9-0.
They were ready
to lay down. And we give them the only hope that they had. And if you're going to throw that ball, every time we got the ball, we had two series in a row where we're starting off on their 15-yard line. And we start throwing the ball and stuff. You got North and you got Crink. What happened to throwing the ball up to your biggest guys in the back of the end zone? What happened? That bunch of little 5'10" defensive backs was not going to outplay them.
There was none of that.
Nothing.
There was none of that. Now, hey,
I think Jake, and, you know, he is their weak link. I would pay if I was UT, since Jim Haslam threw $50 million at him yesterday. I'd see if $5 million a year could hire David Cutcliffe for offensive coordinator.
Hey, Don, I think David Cutcliffe is busy.
I know.
Thank you, Don. Thank you. Right. Thank you, Donnie. 4 past the hour. Russell, have you cooled off since you walked in here 20 minutes ago?
Maybe a little bit, but
good.
I think the criticism that Bajakian, you know, I kind of defended Bajakian last week. I think he's taking some unnecessary shots. I'm not going to stand up for him today. That was pathetic. The guy has no feel for the game.
He didn't have feel today.
He throws the ball when he ought to be running. He runs it when he ought to be throwing. I mean, he just has no rhythm as a play caller.
No.
And the thing that's ironic about it, Tony, is we thought when Butch announced his staff that, you know, Bajakian he looked like that mad scientist type. You're like, oh, that guy's going to be a good coach. But we had question marks about Jancic because he and Martinez got fired at Georgia. And here, a year and a half in, Jancic actually looks like a pretty sharp defensive coordinator, and Bajakian is the major question mark.
And Ole Miss is shredding Alabama's defense right now, up 3-0, driving with the ball.
Yeah, they'll choke.
Smart Way, ladies and gentlemen, everything for your home where you pay your way. And pay your way is a key point. Now, when I say Smart Way to you, I'm talking about a store that is absolutely gigantic on Kingston Pike. Also, one in the Carolinas in the Charlotte area, for those of you listening. We have tons of listeners in the Carolinas. I met at least 30 people today from the Carolinas today that were at that tailgate who are listeners to us. And a couple people who told me, hey, when we make our way out of the stadium, make sure you give us a good program. And I said, hey, we're going to be celebrating a victory, so you know it's going to be a great program. And little did I know that it was going to be one of these dark Saturdays that I just never thought would come. But anyway, let me get back to the task at hand, which is telling you about Smart Way, the everything for your home store where you pay your way. We're talking about Knoxville's newest retailer of furniture, appliances, electronics, cell phones, even tires at Smart Way, and offering products to you in a way you haven't seen before, because what you do with Smart Way is you can pay today, go in there, pay in full. Or you can choose 120 days, same as cash. Or you can pay the cash price within the first 120 days. Or you can choose a lease to own, or a lease purchase, or a rent to own, where you can choose your payment amount and frequency and change it anytime you want. You can change on the fly, kind of like Florida did with their quarterbacks today. They said, hey, this isn't working. Bang. Bang. How about this? I'll throw a true freshman at you who's throwing two passes. It's sickening. So you can buy it outright, pay today, have it delivered for free, or take it with you. 120 days, same as cash, or do the lease purchase deal. But the great thing is, on all lease payments, when you pay your purchase off on time, you earn 2% in-store cash credit. And that's why we say, go the Smart Way. 865-200-5402. If you want to get in the hunt and in the mix with us today.
Hey, Tony, how yes. about Will Muschamp pouring a little salt in the wound? Quote, it's great to see all these people here disappointed. I love it.
Well, he's going to be out
of the job. He's going to get canned, and he's going to have gone, what, 4-0 against Tennessee?
It's really pissing me off. It's the only series. It's the only series that he has maintained there. You know how Fulmer lost those series, like he lost to Vanderbilt there at the end of his run, and there were a couple other deals, and we've lost some series in recent years where we've gone through the wilderness. Florida still has a 10 game winning streak over us. They got whipped by Georgia Southern last year. Vandy beat the living hell out of them in their building last year. Vanderbilt!
They could have put their punter back there at quarterback. They would have won today.
God, it's unbelievable. We've got a 9-0 lead. You're going to get me urinated off because I told everybody I was not going to get involved in this game this week. And then B-Man has beat on there yesterday and sucked me in.
It was so predictable, man. I thought Florida would win the game. I said Florida would win the game, and yet it still pisses me off to have to sit there and watch it the way it unfolded.
Back to the phones, 865-200-5402.
It's like the football gods get together and say, let's find new and creative ways to break Tennessee fans' heart in this series.
Bino says it's a government experiment to see how much a fan base can take before they crack. As we go,
I think people are close right now.
As we go to our next caller here, hello. I literally do not have a call screen.
I hope no Tennessee fans have postal service jobs.
This is not radio effect here. Matt Nelson took the clipboard about 45 minutes ago now, and slammed it to the ground and said, you're on your own today, big boy. So who's up next with us? Hello.
Well, Tony, I'm glad you don't have a call screener because this is Marty.
Hey, Marty, what's up?
Hey, I'll tell you what, guys. This is about the closest thing that I can ever remember to the 9-6 Alabama game. Just with the way it was low scoring and we were so much the better football team and should have won. Don't you agree, Tony?
Well, the only thing about that 9-6 game was we had designs that year, because I was on campus, on competing and ultimately ended up in the Sugar Bowl with that team. But we had designs that year on getting into the national picture at that point in time, even though we already had a couple of ties. That's a Tennessee team with a win there could have gotten into the national picture.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what now, this, you know, and I've been saying this for a few weeks now, that Bus Jones is going to have to look at replacing his offense coordinator. And I like Bus Jones. He's doing a great job recruiting, and I want him to be our head coach, but I'm not sold at all on this offensive system. And if I were the athletic director, I would be more like a Jeremy Foley type than the little hair dye guy we got. But I would make him multiple choice. I'd say, Butch, you can either replace your offensive coordinator or you can go and apply for that Michigan job. I wouldn't fire him, but that's what I'd tell him. I'd say, you're going to replace that guy, or you, if you don't want to, just go ahead and apply for the Michigan job.
Let me tell you something. Butch Jones isn't changing. He played this offense at Cincinnati. He played this offense. And listen, now listen, he played this offense a stop before that. I understand football coaches are stubborn people. Football coaches that get to this level are really stubborn people.
You're right. But I don't think it's going to work. And I don't think, you know, let's put it this way. They're not, with the way Florida brought that quarterback in there today, that little beady-eyed guy, and he beat us. If you're going to run that, get Justin Worley out of there. Because throwing 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage and 2 yards in front of the line of scrimmage is not going to get it done. If you're going to throw the ball downfield. And if you can't throw the ball downfield, and those announcers last night were talking about Justin Worley has a big arm. Justin Worley doesn't have a big arm unless they're talking about the length of it.
Justin Worley's got an okay arm. Justin Worley has this year.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a big arm.
Hey, today's game, it isn't his fault. Yeah. It isn't his fault. I mean, people want to blame him. Justin Worley today on the first series for Tennessee rolled out to the right. Back in the when we're playing a field position game, which is what that game today became, rolled out to his right, kept a play alive. Two series later, he stepped up into the pocket and threw a rifle in the middle of the second quarter. Hey, it's not his fault. They didn't give him some better stuff down front. And then our running game, when you can't run the ball, and it's all going to become incumbent upon him to make plays. And then Malone's not helping you. When Malone drops that ball, if Malone, as somebody said earlier, catches that ball on the 7, he spins off that corner who falls down on the play, and he has a touchdown. Go back and watch it.
Has Jason Kroom, did he re-enter the witness protection program this week?
You know what? He had a couple catches. It's at the end of the
today?
Day. Did Kroom not catch 2 balls? It is what it is. Let me look and see. Let me look at the numbers.
Tony, I apologize for beating up on Worley. It's not his fault. It's the offense coordinator's fault. And he needs to go.
Well, it's fair. Thank you, my friend. Good talking to you. You know what? You're exactly right. Kroom is shut out today.
I don't even think I saw him out there.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because Von Pearson got some snaps. Mm-hmm. And he had a catch for 6 yards, and he's going to figure more into the plans as we go. Apologize for that, Dubsy. I'm really shell-shocked today. I mean, your leading receiver, to tell you what a strange game today was, who had the most catches today, Dubs?
It was a Pig or Malone.
Pig Howard. Malone had 4 catches, but he
somebody
had,
needs to remind Mike Pajakian that he does have Marquez North, who's a pretty nice receiver.
Marquez North has, in the game, 4 receptions, and I think he's targeted 7 times, which is...
He needs to be targeted at least a dozen times.
Kind of hard to believe.
Yeah.
Now, that's a lot of respect for Hargraves, obviously. You know what's interesting to me is the way opposing teams aren't showing the respect for Sutton that they should be.
Yeah. Oh,
and
they
love throwing at him, and he loves making
his
plays.
His interception today, it was almost like the Florida guy purposefully tried to deflect it to him.
Yep.
I mean, that was just indicative of their incompetence as an offense.
They're bad offensively.
They're awful.
Oh, man, it's so frustrating. Oh, boy. 865-200-5402. Here's a Dean Knight says on Twitter, if Kiffin was still coaching here, we would have won. That is when you know. That's when you know, ladies and gentlemen, that this fan base is officially frustrated. When you get people talking about Lane freaking Kiffin, for crying out loud.
I don't know. I mean, it's Tennessee, Florida, and when I was telling people this week that Florida was going to win, they said, it doesn't matter because Butch Jones is here. These young players, they weren't here for those 9 wins. It doesn't matter.
So you held your ground because I got talked into it. You got talked into it. I
will never pick Tennessee.
I held my ground. You're not.
Ever. No.
No.
Tennessee, I mean, they might never beat them again.
I've got a friend
for as long as they play football.
I've got a friend who advertises on the show, and he's also a gambler. Okay, and he does not gamble recreationally. He gambles large amounts of money. We were talking the other night, and in fact, I was playing guitar outside my house, and he drove by and was seeing somebody in my neighborhood, and we were visiting, and I said, "So who are you playing Saturday?" He said, "Oh, I'm playing Florida." I said, "Why?"
Easy money.
He said, "Because I'm either going to be happy that we won, or I'm going to be happy that we lost." And there you go. 865-200-5402. He's one of the few Tennessee fans today that will answer to happy. Who's up next with us here on your Smartway Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction? Hello. Hello, who's this?
Your name.
Yes,
please.
Hello, who's this? That sounds like Worley being flushed out of the pocket. Did you hear that? Who is this? Hello. Going once, going twice. Thank you. Excellent call. Held on 25 minutes for that. Let's go back to our phones. 865-200-5402 is the number. Smartway, Dalton Behring, fifth quarter, fan reaction. Tony Basilio, he's Russell Smith from 94.3 FM here in town. I will grab Jason Swain at some point this afternoon. I don't want to hear from Jerry Colquitt because he's a negaval at this point, and he annoys me. As we go back to the phones, because he kept telling me all week Tennessee's losing, and I didn't want that negativity around me. And he said, "We're going to lose because we're not going to manage the game well enough down the stretch." Gaw, that makes me sick.
Down the stretch? How about from the opening kickoff?
Well, you know what? We had the game in hand. Who's up next with us? Hello.
Never
had the game. Hey, at 9-0, Dubs, the game was in hand.
Should have been 24 to 9.
I understand that, but the game was in hand at 9-0. Mark, hello.
Hey, Tony. Hey, a couple of things. First of all, and I'm not at all going to say that the rest cost the game or anything like that, but it continues to amaze me the incompetency of SEC officiating when, at the end of the half, there was the penalty against Florida, and if Butch hadn't gone out there and told the official that there was a 10-second runoff, they wouldn't have known. They would have let another play run, and yeah, and that next play would have been inconsequential to the game. But it's just amazing to me how every week we see just horrendous incompetency by our SEC officials, and that's just that I'm sure happens in every game. It's just
When you saw Hubert Owens flash his ugly mug out there in the first quarter, you knew it was going to be a long day.
It happens, though. The thing is, guys, all across the board in college football, because truthfully, this is their avocation and not their vocation, and it's kind of a different deal than the coaches you get in basketball, because the guys that work this stuff full time can't make a full time living like a lot of those basketball officials can. So these are avocation guys. It's a different sort of deal. I tell you what I like is the way they, and I'm not a replay guy, okay, but the way they used replay today to keep our safety in the game after what was a clean play that was called a targeting penalty at first.
I was shocked that they overturned
and they went
that.
And they overturned it, and it was a nice piece of replay officiating, and I give credit where credit is due there, because you know what? McNeil last year is thrown out of the game, and there's a 15-yard penalty on Tennessee. So in as much as they could affect the deal, and then there was, as somebody pointed out earlier, I do think it was pretty close to being a delay of game penalty against Florida on the field goal attempt. But here's the thing. When you're Tennessee and you have a 9-0 lead, Mark, you got to make plays. You got to win that game. You got to win that game.
I'm not saying at all officiating had anything to do with the outcome. It just continues to. And I understand this is a secondary job for these guys, but boy, instant replay, because you're right. That was a horrible call against our safety. And the only reason they got it right was because of instant replay. But I want to give you my good, bad, and ugly. The good goes to the Tennessee fan base. I mean, the checkerboard stadium, when I first heard about that, I thought, oh, boy, it's going to be a real big disappointment for everybody. But it was incredible. And any fan base that has been down this long, and everybody in there were hoping that we would win, but I think probably 75% of the fans really thought, because of this crazy karma that goes on with this game, that we would lose. But still, we get that kind of a showing by our fan base. So I thought that was the good. The bad, and, you know, I know everybody is really on our offensive coordinator, but I honestly think that they have no idea what to call because our offensive line is so bad. And it's all through the game, and every now and then they'll give Worley enough time to pick out a receiver or create a little scene for her to get through. But I think they're at the end of the game when, what, we get the ball 2.5 minutes to go, all we need is a field goal. Florida's rushing 3, and Worley doesn't have enough time to pick out a receiver is just a real indication that that offensive line is definitely not SEC caliber. They're probably not, you know, Division I or whatever it's called caliber.
Yeah, not
and
even
I
close.
Really think that the Jenkins and company just are back there, you know, getting out the voodoo dolls to try to figure out what's going to work with an offensive line that's bad. So I hope the kid from Memphis that they brought in the whole Far Side cast to convince to go to commit to Ole Miss saw that and knows he can start on our offensive line next year. Maybe he'll come and come back and play for us. So that was the bad. And ugly is Will Muschamp, and he sneaked out of there with a game that he shouldn't won, and the only thing he has to say is to make fun of our great fan base and talk about how happy he is to see that many disappointed people, and it makes him, you know, he loved it. And so, you know, it's one thing to win, and back in the day of Spurrier, he had a lot of fun with us, but Spurrier always had kind of like a wink in his eye or something like that when he would cut another team down. He still does it. But Muschamp, I just think, is a miserable human being. And the quicker he gets out of our conference, I think the better. So, you know, I don't know. I think, like you, the grand scheme, we're headed in the right direction. And this time next year, we'll be even better. We'll have depth. We'll have some guys that can make more plays so that we're not one injury away from a ball game falling apart the way we are right now. So I don't know. I'm still optimistic for the long term with Butch and his guys here. But yeah, it is. It's a painful Saturday, and we're all sick of them, and we need to turn this thing around. But I'm afraid that this offensive line, it's not going to be this year.
Yeah, I'm afraid this year getting to a bowl game from right now is going to be very, very, very difficult. And we'll talk about that later. Thank you. Good talking to you, and appreciate the phone call. Appreciate you being there. 865-200-5402 is our number. 865-200-5402. This is your Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. Russell Smith from 94.3 FM. KnoxTalkRadio.com. Dubsy, somebody was complaining about the talk radio in the afternoon on Twitter yesterday, and I tweeted back to them and said, "Hey, you got to give my man Dubsy a try." So obviously he didn't know about you out there, because
maybe
you're
complaining about
it. Because your program is life, and that's kind of what we're doing here. I want to before we go back to our phones, because this show is about you, the listener and your callers. Dustin Dvorak, who is with the Knoxville News Sentinel, is quoting some stuff right now from Justin Worley that's really interesting. Worley says, we keep beating ourselves. Penalties, negative yardage plays. That's what we did today. We were living behind the sticks. Worley also said, we've got to do a better job in the red zone. Worley also says that Florida showed some secondary looks that they hadn't shown all year on film.
Sure.
Which is really interesting. Well,
they had the off week.
And so they mixed it up on us, he said. Worley also said,